Throughout Formula One's history, there have been a multitude of closely fought title fights that have put us on the edge of our seats. Sometimes the very smallest of margins, ultimately deciding in which way the championship was won. But here are the 10 closest title finishes in Formula One history to date, with any championships that were decided by the same points being ordered by the total number of races in which points could be scored that season. And because of the reduced number of races in earlier years, only championships that feature at least 10 races counting towards the final totals have been included. The heavyweights of the time, Alain Prost, Nigel Mansell, Nelson Piquet and Ayrton Senna, all fought over the 1986 driver's title, with each driver taking a turn to lead the championship. Piquet had won the opening race, but reigning champion Prost took back-to-back wins and moved to the front of the standings. Then it was Mansell who moved up a gear, winning four of the next five races and taking a slender lead following a home victory. Only once all season had the lead of the championship got as high as 10 points. And at the title-deciding race in Adelaide, Mansell, Prost and Piquet had a chance of winning it.
Now go try to push Mansell out and try to win the race.
What followed was a thrilling conclusion, which first saw Piquet spin.
Head off, beat Piquet! Wowee!
And then Prost lose a chunk of time with a slow pit stop. With just 20 laps to go, as Mansell looked set for the title, disaster struck.
Hey, look at that! And colossally, that's Mansell!
A left rear tyre blowout had ended the Brits' chances, with the Williams team fearing the same would happen to Piquet and opting to pit the Brazilian from the lead. This saw Prost move to the front, where the McLaren driver would finish and win a second consecutive title. This time, only 2 points clear of a dejected Mansell.
Well, I'm very sorry for Nigel because I know how it is to lose the championship as the last race, and I'm very, very sorry for him. It must be very hard.
Nelson Piquet had strong competition from a French duo in 1983, with both Alain Prost and René Arnoux giving the Brazilian a real fight for the title. Despite starting the season with a win at his home event, Piquet soon fell behind Prost, who won four races during a time in which the Brazilian could manage only second-place finishes at best. This streak gave the Renault driver the most likely chance of winning the title, holding a 14-point lead with four races to go. But two consecutive retirements at the most crucial stage of the season allowed Arnoux and Piquet to close in. And following the penultimate round, only 8 points separated the trio. Prost had led for large parts of the season, but suffered yet another race retirement at the final round in South Africa. And with Arnoux also dropping out, it left Piquet just needing a fourth-place finish, which the Brabham driver duly delivered, winning his second world championship and only 2 points clear of the unfortunate Prost. Three drivers from three different teams would fight for the 2003 championship, with Williams' Juan Pablo Montoya, Ferrari's Michael Schumacher, and McLaren's Kimi Raikkonen, all in race-winning machinery. The young Raikkonen had his breakthrough season, claiming a first race victory at the Malaysian Grand Prix, along with a string of consistent podium finishes that kept him in the hunt throughout. But while the recently dominant Ferraris had found themselves involved in a number of incidents early on, their leading man quickly found his feet and began to return to winning ways, while a haul of strong results mid-season gave Montoya a real chance too.
The other two guys respect very much of what I'm doing, and I do the same for them. But when we go for it, we go for it.
But each time the championship looked to be going in favour of one driver, misfortune would intervene. Raikkonen retiring from a comfortable lead in Europe, Schumacher's tyre delaminating at his home Grand Prix, and Montoya's engine giving way while the Colombian was running at the front in Austria. And three became two at the penultimate round, which saw both Raikkonen and Schumacher excel in changeable conditions as Montoya dropped out of contention. Schumacher held a 9-point lead at the final round, which the Finn was unable to overturn in Japan. He took second place, with Schumacher finishing eighth. 2 points the difference in the end, and title number six for the legendary German.
How many people wrote us off? How many people wrote things about us, outspoken things? And here we are, we're back, and we never give up.
1999 promised to be the second installment of a famous Mika Häkkinen versus Michael Schumacher rivalry, a contest that had gone down to the wire the previous year. But with Schumacher suffering an horrific accident at the British Grand Prix, he was ruled out for six races with a broken leg and out of the title fight. Instead, it was left to his Ferrari teammate Eddie Irvine to stop the Finn, which appeared at the time to be an almost impossible task. The Northern Irishman stepped up, however, taking a brace of race victories mid-season and making the most of a rough patch for Häkkinen, who crashed out of both the German and Italian Grand Prix, huge moments that would allow his rivals to close the gap.
Häkkinen, the race leader! He's out of the race! He's out of the race! And this could blow the World Championship wide open!
His McLaren teammate David Coulthard, along with Jordan's Heinz Harald Frentzen, both entered the fight, although ultimately dropped out of the running with a race to go, as Irvine won in Malaysia, thanks to a little help from his returning teammate. There was controversy to come, though, as both Ferraris were disqualified and then reinstated from the Sepang results, ultimately setting up a title showdown in Japan.
It's going to be an interesting race, that's for sure.
So the winner would take it all, as Irvine's slim four-point lead would not be enough should the McLaren win his first race in five. The Finn did just that, cruising to a comfortable victory to secure back-to-back titles, with Irvine only third in what would be his final race for Ferrari. One of the sport's most well-known title battles is James Hunt and Niki Lauda's Hollywood movie-inspiring 1976 season. Lauda started the season strong for Ferrari, almost ending any hopes of a title fight at all as he opened a 38-point lead over Hunt halfway through the season, in an era where you were awarded only 9 points for a race win. However, at that season's German Grand Prix, a horrible crash for Lauda would change the course of the championship, with the Austrian left on his deathbed after suffering severe burns and smoke inhalation. Despite the nature of his injuries, Lauda would miss just two rounds, while Hunt put in an incredible run of results, winning four more races and taking the fight down to the wire at a rain-soaked Japanese Grand Prix at Fuji.
I'm not looking forward to the hard battle that we're going to have because it's going to be really tough.
Lauda found the treacherous conditions too much, pulling into the pits and retiring from the race, the Austrian's horror incident at the Nordschleife still playing on his mind. Hunt needed a fourth-place finish, a feat that looked impossible as he dropped to fifth late on, following a puncture. But the Briton would remarkably claw back two places in the closing stages, and in securing third place, won the Drivers' Championship by just a single point, ahead of his great friend and rival. 1 point was the difference between Nelson Piquet and Carlos Heutemann in 1981. Although even more remarkably, the top five would be covered by just 7 points following the final race at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. Both Piquet and Heutemann had fought hard over the course of the season, earning the same amount of podium finishes while sharing 5 race victories between them. And with both drivers tied on points following the Dutch Grand Prix, a race in which Heutemann had crashed out while dueling with Jacques Lafitte, it was set up brilliantly for the fight to go down to the final day. Piquet had trailed Heutemann for much of the season, but with the Argentine having an unimpressive final 2 races, Piquet only had to finish 5th to take the title by a single point, with Alan Jones, Jacques Lafitte and Alain Prost all within touching distance of the title following an unpredictable season. The end of a turbulent 1994 season, during which the lives of Ayrton Senna and Roland Ratzenberger were tragically lost, culminated with the title being decided in controversial circumstances. Michael Schumacher's dominant run of 6 wins from the opening 7 races saw him streak away in his Benetton. But Williams' Damon Hill was able to fight back in the second half of the season. Schumacher's lead may well have been bigger, but at the British Grand Prix, he ignored a penalty for overtaking Hill 2 times on the formation lap, a decision which would later give him a 2-race ban, allowing his rival to close in. And after a memorable victory in torrential conditions at the Japanese Grand Prix, Hill entered the season finale in Adelaide, just 1 point adrift of Schumacher.
I mean, this track is very difficult and you've got to explore the limits of the envelope, especially when you're driving against two great drivers. Yeah, I chose the escape road a number of times, purely and simply, that if I try to go around the corner, I probably might have ended up going in the water. It's a bit quicker, you should try it tomorrow.
Hill started slowly in Australia, but began to reel Schumacher in. And as the pressure grew on the German driver, he went wide and hit the wall. Hill saw his chance, diving up the inside, but Schumacher turned in, and the resulting damage saw both drivers retire, meaning Schumacher was champion for the first time.
It's a bit of an empty feeling, but I think I gave him a good run for his money, and he certainly was feeling the pressure because he ended up falling off the road.
Having been robbed of a first title by Reliability in 2003 and 2005, Kimi Räikkönen had moved from McLaren to Ferrari for 2007, replacing the departing Michael Schumacher. Fernando Alonso had moved teams to McLaren following back-to-back world championships and was joined by rookie Lewis Hamilton, hotly tipped to give his teammate a tougher job than he may have expected. Despite winning the opening round, Räikkönen struggled early on as the McLaren pairing won a handful of races to open up a lead in both championships. And it was Hamilton's superb consistency that saw the rookie remarkably lead by 12 points at the halfway point in the season. It appeared to be McLaren's title to lose, but their reluctance or perhaps inability to prioritise one driver over the other left the door ajar for Räikkönen to close in. As Hamilton and Alonso took points off one another, 9 podiums from the final 10 races for the resurgent Räikkönen, including victories in each of the final 2 events, saw the Finn finally become champion, pipping both Hamilton and Alonso by just a single point. It was the tightest ever margin between the top 3 drivers in a championship to date. It was not only one of the narrowest title wins in F1 history, but the most dramatic and famous of them all. Lewis Hamilton and Felipe Massa had fought over the 2008 championship, with both Kimi Räikkönen and Robert Kubica also taking turns to lead the standings. But the leading pair would ultimately be too strong for the rest, each driver putting in magnificent performances throughout the season. Massa excelling in Turkey and Europe, while Hamilton reigned supreme in treacherous conditions at his home Grand Prix to finish almost 70 seconds clear of the field. Controversy played its part too. Hamilton stripped of a race victory in Belgium for an illegal overtake on Massa's teammate Räikkönen, while Massa himself saw a comfortable win stolen from him in Singapore following a deliberate crash by Nelson Piquet Jr. and his Renault team. The rivals even came together in Fuji as a respectful relationship came under intense pressure. It all led to a heart-stopping title decider in Brazil, with the then 23-year-old Lewis Hamilton becoming F1's youngest ever world champion, with a last-gasp overtake on the final lap of the final race of the season. It was so close that when Felipe Massa crossed the line, both he and his team thought they had done enough to be crowned champions. But Massa, who had won more races than Hamilton in 2008, missed out by a single point. That last lap pass on Timo Glock, enough to secure him the ultimate prize in motorsport. Had he not made it, he would have lost out to the Brazilian on countback.
We missed 1 point. And but that's racing. I mean, we need to be proud. We need to be proud about our job.
McLaren teammates Niki Lauda and Alain Prost couldn't be separated at the end of 1984, resulting in the closest championship finish between two drivers in the history of the sport. Having only just missed out to Piquet the previous year, Prost had moved to McLaren and looked to have faster outright speed than his new partner, a position that left Lauda making a conscious decision to concentrate on race setup, knowing his teammate clearly had the edge in qualifying. Prost would win 7 races to Lauda's 5, including victory at a rain-soaked Monaco, where only half points were awarded due to less than 75% of the race being completed. But Lauda's cool consistency, only once finishing outside of the top 2 all year when reaching the checkered flag, gave him the edge.
I absolutely want to win the championship. And even if I do not win it, I want to go to Estoril with a chance.
The McLaren team had been the class of the field on race days, but with only three pole positions, and all of them for Prost, Lauda's decision to focus on race pace rewarded him with a third and final title, fending off the young Frenchman by the smallest of margins, following in Prost's wheel tracks over the line at the final round in Portugal to secure a second place finish and the title by just half a point.
He was the toughest guy to beat, as far as I know. The toughest guy, so therefore this championship is the most important one for me.